Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Here.
Senator Dietrich?
Aye. Here.
Senator Hagan?
Here.
Senator Olson?
Here.
Senator Reedy?
Here.
Senator Bitter?
Here.
Senator Hamm?
Here. A quorum is present. You have the minutes of the previous meeting. If someone would move the approval.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Bitter and seconded by Senator Dietrich. In the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried. This morning we have the, I want to remind you that the mics are, the box picks up the record, the voice when the mics are on, and it always picks up the one out at the center, so we need to be aware of that. And I will leave it on from gavel to gavel unless we are determined that we want to do something else, at which time we will make that decision. Our first bill this morning before us will be Senate Bill 5. It's to revise the certain voting qualifications in municipal and school elections, and I welcome Chris Nelson from the Secretary of State's. Good morning, Chris.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 5, as do the other two today, come to you from the Secretary of State's office. Several years ago, a change was made to our code dealing with school and municipal elections and in who could vote in those elections. Forever and a day, it had been those people that were registered to vote in a city or in a school district could vote. Several years ago, Senator Halverson came in with a bill adding an additional qualification to vote in a city or school election, that being that you also had to be a resident of that municipality or that school district. And we defined resident as somebody who had actually resided there at least 30 days within the last year. This has been in law for a couple of years. We're implementing it. It seems to be working okay. But we found a particular glaring oversight in that particular statute. And that oversight was that those folks who are in the military and who for, if they hadn't been in the military, would certainly be physically residing in that school district or in that municipality, are not able to vote in those elections. And that's just plain wrong. And so we'd like to add one exception to that, that if you are a military person whose home of record is within that municipality or within that school district, then you can be considered to be a resident and allowed to vote absentee in city and school elections. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there questions of Chris? If not, are there other proponents to Senate Bill 5? Proponents. Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 5? Opponents? Seeing none, I will close the testimony and ask for committee discussion and disposition of the bill. Senator Olson.
Madam Chairman, I move to pass on Senate Bill 5.
The motion has been made by Senator Olson, seconded by Senator Bitter, that we do pass Senate Bill number 5. Pardon me? Discussion? Certainly. Absolutely.
Chris, this past voting deal, I had a boy in Italy in the Army, and they weren't notified of the election until about an hour before the polls closed. And he said a lot of them just laughed it off because they didn't have time to get to the polls. I don't know if that would affect us some way in South Dakota, but I think everybody in the military should have that opportunity to vote, and he feels like they were sort of denied a proper process on that. I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on Senate Bill 5? Senator Reedy.
In a case like that, who is responsible to notify them? Is the local board or is anyone?
Chris, family, I think.
If I might respond, anybody who's in the military or expects to be gone from an election can apply for an absentee ballot any time during that calendar year. So when you're coming up on an even-numbered year, if you know you're going to be gone, you can send in an application for that ballot in January. And when primary election time comes, they will send you the primary ballot. General election time comes, they will send you that that general ballot. And so, you know, there's a wide window to apply, but you've got to make sure you do send in the application.
Well, I have a question. I thought you had to apply for each election.
No. You can send in the case of primaries or generals, you can send in one application and mark on there that you want it for both the primary and general if you know you're going to be gone, and that will suffice. You would have to send in a separate one for a city or school election because it's a different person running that election.
Right. Okay. Any further questions? Is there further discussion? If not, the motion before the body is do pass on Senate Bill number 5. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. The secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
Senator Dietrich?
Aye.
Senator Hagan?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Senator Reedy?
Aye.
Senator Bitter?
Aye.
Senator Hamm?
Aye.
Can this go on a consent calendar?
Yes.
I so move.
The motion has been made and seconded that it go, that Senate Bill number 5 go on consent. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. It will be put on the consent calendar. To consent, Senator Bitter. Senate Bill number 6 requires the notification to the Secretary of State of the nomination of certain convention nominees and of the election of certain party officials. Chris Nelson.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, this deals with the process whereby the recognized political parties, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, and Reform, certify their nominees for president and vice president to the Secretary of State to ultimately be put on the ballot. Heretofore, we've not had anything in our statute that talked about how that process worked. The parties voluntarily had certified those names of their national convention nominees to us, and we put them on the ballot. And that all worked fine until this year when, as you might recall, the Reform Party had a little difficulty at their national convention and split into two separate groups and nominated two separate presidential candidates. And fortunately, we were able to work through that situation and ultimately put Buchanan on the ballot as the Reform Party candidate, Reform Party nominee, and we got through that process. But other states were not as fortunate as us and ended up in some lengthy court battles between the Secretary of State, the Buchanan people, and the Hagelin people. And we don't ever want to get into that situation, and so we brought this bill forward to give us some statutory authority, first of all, for the parties to give us a certification of who their nominee is for president and vice president. And then secondly, in lines 9 and 10 on page 1, if for some reason that national certification is not received or is inconclusive, and that probably would have been the case this year, inconclusive, then we would have the authority to ask the state party chairman of that party as to who the nominee should be on our ballot in this state. The second part of the bill then is over on page 2, lines 10 through 12. We are also asking each of the state political parties to certify to us who their state chairperson is, so that if we have a need to interact with that person to determine who the nominee is, we know exactly who to go to. In the case of the major parties, that's really not a problem, but as we get more of the third parties emerging, sometimes it's difficult to tell exactly who's in charge, and so this would give us that ability. Be happy to answer any questions.
Are there questions of Chris? Excuse me. What does certified mean? How do you certify? Is it
basically it's a document that contains the names of the nominees with a sworn statement that these were the officially elected nominees.
But there's not a designated person that has to.
No, there is not. Typically, it's the national committee or the national convention chairperson that does that. In the case of the Reform Party this year, we ended up getting two of these certifications from two people who purported to be that. And so that was part of our problem.
Okay. Are there other proponents to Senate Bill 6? Proponents. Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 6? Anyone opposed? Seeing none, I will close the testimony and invite the disposition of the bill. Is there a second? Albers. The motion has been made and seconded that Senate Bill 6 do pass. Is there discussion? Seeing none, I'll ask the Secretary to call the roll. Those in favor of a do pass on Senate Bill 6 signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
Senator Dietrich?
Aye.
Senator Hagan?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Senator Reedy?
Aye.
Senator Bitter?
Aye.
Senator Hamm?
Aye. Oh, okay. The motion has been made and seconded that we put it on the consent calendar. Is there any opposition? Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Okay, we will put it, Senate Bill 6 on the consent calendar. Senate Bill number 7, revise the dates for filing certain certifications of nominations. Chris Nelson.
Well, Madam Chairman, since we're doing so well this morning, let's try just one more bill before I depart. Senate Bill 7 deals with an issue that this committee is familiar with, those of you who have been on here for a while. It deals with the deadline for independent candidates to file their nominating petitions. Prior to 1999, that deadline had always been the first Tuesday in August. And in 1999, a bill was brought into this committee by our office and was amended by this committee to move the deadline for those independent candidates to file, to move it forward to the third Tuesday in June. And that was passed and that was implemented, and we didn't think we were going to have any problems with that. But then along came a gentleman by the name of Ralph Nader, who created ample problems for us with that. This past year, Mr. Nader filed independent nominating petitions for president by that third Tuesday in June deadline. He did not have sufficient signatures in order to become a legal candidate with that filing, and so we turned down his candidacy. He took that issue to federal court in South Dakota, and we had a hearing in front of Judge Kornman here in Pierre over the issue of whether or not he should be allowed to be a presidential candidate on our ballot. And there were really two issues involved. He was suing over the constitutionality of the third Tuesday in June deadline. His contention was that that early a deadline was unconstitutional and infringed upon his First and 14th Amendment rights to become a candidate, and that the deadline should be later in the summer, giving him more time to collect petition signatures. The other issue that was involved was, did he have enough signatures to begin with? And the court really went two directions. They said, first of all, that that June deadline for presidential candidates was unconstitutional, that the state had no reason, no legitimate reason, to have that early a deadline. And so Judge Kornman moved that deadline back to August. On the second issue of did he ever have enough signatures, the judge astutely ruled that no, he didn't have enough signatures anyway, and so he wasn't going to be a candidate. And so he won part of it and he lost part of it. But in any case, we've got this federal court ruling, and I will say that Nader appealed that to the Ninth Circuit Court. They turned him down, and he also appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they turned him down. But we've got this federal court ruling right now that in the case of the deadline for presidential independent candidates, the June deadline is unconstitutional. And so therefore we have to move that to some later date. And in this bill we have chosen to move that back, right back where it was, to that first Tuesday in August, which is a date that certainly works with us administratively. That leads us to the bigger question that we're going to end up talking about here this morning. What about all the rest of the independent candidates for statewide and legislative and county office? Do we need to move those back to August also? The Secretary of State and I discussed that, and our determination was that for the sake of uniformity, we were going to establish one uniform independent deadline and move both of them back to August. And so that's the bill that we've brought to you. The other question that is out there is, what happens if we do leave the rest of those independents in June? Is that constitutional? And that's a question we simply don't know. The judge was very careful in his order to say that he was only dealing with the presidential deadline. So far as any other candidates, that's a different issue to be decided a different day if somebody wanted to. And so for the sake of uniformity, we have brought this bill in to move the deadline back to August, and that's really as simple as the bill is. Be happy to answer any questions.
Are there questions of Chris?
Madam Chairman.
Senator Albers.
Apparently I've lost track of your timeline. If the judge found that it was unconstitutional, then didn't Mr. Nader have more time? So why would he find that he didn't have enough signatures? He could just go out and hustle up the signatures.
That's an interesting observation and an astute observation. This court hearing didn't take place until, I believe it was the 28th of August. And so it was well after that August deadline. And so the judge essentially gave them another 6 weeks to circulate, but he gave it to them after that deadline had also passed anyway. And what the judge basically said is, you folks have come to us telling us that this June deadline is unconstitutional. Why didn't you go back out and collect more signatures and bring them in by that August date that you wanted? And Nader didn't do that. Nader never did file enough signatures. He did bring in another batch late in August, which was after the second deadline even, and those still didn't have enough signatures. And so, yes, the time frame was convoluted.
Okay.
Senator Reedy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chris, I believe that when we change this from August to June, one of the main reasons we did that is we thought it would be more fair for our own candidates, for all of us, to know in June whether we were going to have an opponent instead of waiting until August to have an opponent, and then we have September and October to go out and read a campaign. I think the June, I don't care about Ralph Nader. I'm interested in our own candidates here, and I think we deserve July, August, September, and October to do fundraisers, to campaign and that, rather than just August and September.
I certainly understand your position.
Are there further questions?
No.
Senator Albers.
Well, I know this is an unfair question. If we don't change this to apply to the more local candidates that he's talking about, what are the odds that that's unconstitutional?
I don't know. I think we certainly have a stronger constitutional standing dealing with the local candidates because of the issue that Senator Reedy has raised. But how it would ultimately be decided, I don't know. Frankly, I thought we were okay with the presidential candidates moving that to June. I really did. The interesting thing is Nader sued three other states also, states that had dates earlier than ours, and in some of those states they found those earlier dates constitutional, but the reason was because of their state procedures, the state had an interest or a need to get those filings earlier. They had some challenge procedures and some other things that took some time. Where in South Dakota, frankly, we don't need the names until August to put our ballot together, and so these things are delicate, and they're looked at on a state-by-state and a case-by-case basis. I don't know the answer to your question.
Further questions? Are you going to introduce your...
Mm-hmm. You need to call for opposition, Madam Chairman.
Yes. Are there further proponents for Senate Bill 7? Are there other proponents for Senate Bill 7?
Madam Chairman.
Senator Vitter.
Can I state my position from the seat here?
Yes.
Senator Vitter, it was my bill that brought this forward to move it to the third Tuesday in June because, like Senator Reedy said, we thought it was unfair that we go out and we have to declare in January. Then another third candidate, even after a primary, doesn't have to declare to August 15th. So, I have no hard feelings about moving the president's date, but I have an amendment before you that I would like to offer. And what it does, it keeps the second Tuesday after the primary in TAC where they have to declare, but it allows the president candidate to declare all the way to August 15th, I believe. And so with that in mind, I would offer this amendment to fix this bill so that the state would not be sued. And I really believe constitutionally that the second Tuesday after the primary will stand up in court. It's a fairness issue. Like Senator Reedy said, we have to go out and we have to raise money. You may be unchallenged in a primary and think that you got everything in order, and then somebody on August 15th decides, or August 14th decides that they're going to turn their petition in, and all of a sudden you're strapped in a major conflict of how you're going to raise money in a short period of time. So with that in mind, I would offer Amendment 7TA to this bill, Madam Chairman.
Is there a second?
Second.
Are there other proponents for the amendment?
You need a second, Madam Chairman.
He did second.
Okay.
Are there other proponents? Are there any opponents to the amendment? Oh. Let us be at ease for a minute.
Chris, I had LRC draw that up.
Yeah. Is there discussion on the amendment while Chris is having a look at that?
Okay.
Here? Yeah, I like the amendment. I think it's very fair, and I still maintain that I don't think we should let a guy like, well, we shouldn't say names, but Ralph Nader, I don't think we should let him foul up our country in our elections.
Chris, did you want to comment on that amendment?
The only change that I would make in the new section, any candidate for president should say president and vice president, because they are both nominated by petition.
And Madam Chairman, I agree to that being added into the...
Okay. So that it would say president and vice president shall declare. Okay?
Yeah, I believe that would be in two different... or three different locations. Wherever the word president appears in the section two, we need to have vice president in there also.
I agree that that should be in the amendment. I agree with that.
Okay, let's work. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is there further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, I think I ask for opponents.
Madam President, can I just ask a question, not getting right through the reading of this? Would this amendment then keep the law the same for everyone except the president and vice president?
Right, right.
And that we'd be right back to where we are right now, except for the president.
Except for the president,
right.
President
absolutely.
And vice president.
Okay, thanks.
Is there further discussion? Then I would ask for a motion on the amended, because it's been with the vice president in, on the amendment.
What about it?
You already have a motion to vote. Okay. We just need to vote on the amendment.
Madam, I found another problem, if I might. The overstricken language in section one of the amendment, that applies to a declaration of candidacy, not the nominating petition. Let's see, is that repeated in section two? Okay, we've got that
line.
Repeated in two. We're okay.
Okay, it's fourth line, yeah.
Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Chris, are you comfortable with this right now? I mean,
yes, we can make this work.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor that states that the amendment has been brought before us.
Mm-hmm.
The motion now will be a due pass motion if someone would so like to move.
We have to vote on the amendment. To accept the amendment.
Okay, to accept the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye. The secretary, those opposed, no. The secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
be a voice.
It could be, oh, yeah, an amendment, excuse me. Okay, ding, ding. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. So then I would entertain a motion to do pass and final disposition of the bill as amended. Senator Olson?
I guess I'm a little confused. Did we insert the language?
Vice President.
So we did that all at once?
Yes.
That was very clever.
I'm a very clever person.
Thank you. Yes, you are, Senator Vitter.
Are there further questions? Go ahead.
Madam Chair, I'd make a motion that be due passed as amended.
Are there questions? Discussion? Senator Reedy? Oh, excuse me. Okay, the motion has been made and seconded to do pass on Senate Bill 7 as amended. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. And the Secretary will call the roll. Excuse me. Go ahead.
I don't think you voted on accepting the amendment.
Yes, we did.
No, you voted on the correction.
No, I agreed to the correction before we took the vote.
Would you like another vote?
No, I stand corrected.
Okay. Yes, he slipped it in there kind of quietly. Okay. Okay. Let me repeat it. The motion, the due pass motion, then, is on Senate Bill 7 as amended with Vice President put in. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. And the Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
Senator Dietrich?
Aye.
Senator Hagan?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Senator Reedy?
Aye.
Senator Bitter?
Aye.
I think we should take this to the floor so that it can be explained. So I would not suggest that we put it on the consent calendar.
I'd like to introduce to everybody the beautiful blonde gal I gave a hug to is my sister-in-law, Carla Pizor from Pakwana.
Welcome. Glad to have you.
Egg World Leadership participants that are
around us today. I thought you were going to tell me you were one of 30 of his relatives.
There's at least that many, too.
Madam Chairman, would you like me to carry this bill on the floor?
Yes, sir. Thank you. We only have one bill in the mill, so my suggestion would be that we not meet on Monday. You'd rather what? I see. Do we have further business to be brought before our committee today?
Madam Chair?
Senator Reedy?
I'd like to congratulate you on three bills in 30 minutes. That's 10 minutes per meeting and we'll just keep that up.
We just might do that. We'll see what we can do about that, Senator Reedy. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. The motion has been made and seconded that we adjourned. We are adjourned. Thank you. Thank you for your cooperation. Thanks. And we're not going to meet on Monday. Well, I'll say that unless we get some bills. So watch I'll notify you. Okay?